you guys wanted to talk about Ukraine. We got about 2 minutes for it, and then we got to kick you. No, I'm just kidding. What's up? How's it going? How's it going?
Typical. That's what we get usually. Thank you.
It's going good. I just got back to Ukraine this morning. Went by bus. 17 hours of dread.
Ew.
Just my head bumping against the window, sweating through all my clothing.
Where are you busing from?
So I went first. I flew to Estonia. I stayed in Tallinn for a bit. Like, just wanted to see the sights, see Russia's next target. And then I went to Poland, and I took a bus from Warsaw all the way to Kyiv.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Can you pass through, like, Belarus, or is that, like, a no-no? How does that work?
No, I'd like to keep my fingers.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Nah, don't do that.
Gotcha.
Wait, what's up with Belarus? I'm not familiar with that.
Nice to stay that way. No, I mean, they're literally, like, basically Russia, like, you know, in all intents and purposes. So we get bombed from there, you know, we get, like, all sorts of shit. Like, initial N22 attack on Kyiv region, for example, was primarily from there. So, yeah, so it's best not to go there. If you're of any notoriety, if you're, like, known in any way, no, you will be get arrested and, like, thrown into some funny
gulag. Okay, cool, so I'm safe.
There have been airplanes. There was a scandal a while ago where an airplane over Belarusian airspace was diverted so they could actually take people off of the plane because of their critique of the Russian government. So, I mean, they are definitely an extension of Russia's long arm.
Yep.
Yeah, not good. Jesus. Okay, cool. Well, I'll let you guys get into it. Sorry.
Yeah, not good, not good. What do you want me to say? It's bad. Well, how is it going? Yeah, man, it's real bad for you guys. Man, it's pretty kind of gloomy day. I think all the sanctions have been lifted on every single Russian ally, and everything is kind of, they're making oil money and everything else. So what do you got for us today? Yeah.
What we got is, like, that administration and, you know, the year of Trump was complete fuckery. Like, we all have been extremely, obviously, felt very dreadful when he won, specifically because I was worried about many people were worried about the pressure that they will enact on us to capitulate, which they tried to do, basically presenting us with, like, Russian list of Russian wishes and telling us, do that or else, you know, or else we will cut off that, or we will cut off that, or else, you know, you're screwed, basically. You have no cards, infamously. And that was what they did, but I also was worried about our own people, obviously, being under that immense pressure of fighting the country 30 times our size, sponsored as well by Iran, China, North Korea, all sorts of shit, right? And also now having to deal with this, I was worried that maybe our representatives will just cave under that pressure. Thankfully, they didn't. Thankfully, yes, they didn't. They actually tried to, you know, defend their interests, and I appreciate that. But, recent events have been Iran shit that ended up being good only for Russia, I guess, and Iran, because they now, will control, have money for that straight up Hormuz, and even have even more political control of the other people in the region. So your allies got bombed, I guess, as well, like Saudi Arabia and, you know, United Arab, Kuwait, all sorts of shit. And we now have to deal with Russia earning billions over oil. I think it was like their crude grew like twice the sales there they're doing. So all that money would be redirected into bombing us. So, we're trying real hard, okay, to destroy their oil refineries, to destroy their factories, like, to chip away at their, like, economy with our own stuff, that our own drones and things like that. And now United States, allegedly, that is, like, our ally, if you can call it that now, helped them big time to basically gave them, like, this, don't die, Russian economy, don't die. And that's what happened. And it will be a fucking terrible thing now for us. There's nothing to be happy about, to be honest. Like, this, you know, European Union relations with the United States are horrible. We didn't get any aid whatsoever in 25 from United States. And USAID has been catastrophic for us because we depend on it. Our, like, coordination centers depend on it, our generators, our energy sector that Russia destroyed, bombed on it. We had people freezing to death this winter, which is pretty horrible by all accounts. People lived through minus 20 Celsius weather without any heating for months. And all of that is because we have a person, like, that basically put the leash off of you know, Russia. They're no longer worried about any repercussions, any because with Biden, as much as people, for example, shit on him or not doing enough, every time Russia did something extremely gross, there would be some sort of repercussions. They will give us more. They will lift more of the, you know, of the help us out with more like military aid and things like that, and pressure Russia more. And with Trump, there's nothing. He like green lights basically everything they do, and then they shit in his throat every time he says, Putin told me they're not gonna bomb Ukraine, and the next day the biggest bombing since 22. And like nobody cares about what he says. Nobody says about the United States. What they say is not treated seriously. Like even this fucking thing with the whole we will destroy the civilization, like I'm not for it. Like I didn't want him to do it, but what did he do? Like you can't dish out threats like that and then do nothing and expect to be treated seriously, especially by people like Putin and Russia, who only understand basically the language of power. And you're not projecting power, you project stupidity and lunacy and indecisiveness. So, yeah, guys, really, really need to have Democrats back, because that is something that is, you know, directly affected my life and the life of Ukrainian people, but it also directed the life of people in the European Union. It directed the lives in the people of the Middle East now as well. And it's all because of this absolutely unhinged administration. So, yeah.
Yeah, I will say on a slightly more positive note, it's understanding that you guys are obviously there, so I mean, I'm sure it sucks for sure, but like it is kind of fascinating to think about. Fascinating is a dark way to say it, but like Russia's kind of had almost everything they could have possibly dreamed of since Trump was elected, in terms of the United States basically completely pulling support. The European Union is still kind of struggling to find its feet. You know, Iran has been helping Russia as much as they can, and they still are obviously struggling to accomplish any of the ends that they really wanted to with Ukraine. So, I mean, it is pretty amazing given how many different ways Ukraine has gotten fucked over the past, like, few years that Russia is still fighting over the same small bits and pieces of land. Yeah. I mean, it speaks to the tenacity, I guess, of your country and the, yeah, I mean, it's a thing to be admired, I would think. Yeah. Cause like, yeah, I mean, this, everything Putin has gotten like so many handouts from Trump and so much goodwill from Trump and everything else. And like, despite all of that, like, yeah, they're still stuck. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that's mostly just because now, for example, we produce a lot of our own stuff, thankfully, which mm-hmm. wasn't the case, for example, in 22 and 23 and even in 24 as much as it is now. So we can sort of like a little bit depend on ourselves somewhat, but still the lack of that aid is very much felt. And if Europe like ups their game, it would be like, I guess, sort of like easier, but it's just pretty, as much as I want to like brag about my people being awesome and fighting off that immense power with, you know, with everything we have, it's also quite difficult, to put it mildly,
for sure.
Right?
And I mean, look at how backwards the world is, how stupid it is that Iran, this country that has been sanctioned literally forever, is still managing to help Russia out with, you know, with drones. Meanwhile, the United States of America, which we spend an ungodly amount on our military, and all these other countries are going to Ukraine and asking for help, like intercepting drones in the Middle East. Like it's just an insane asymmetry on both sides. It's just so stupid.
Yeah.
Like it should be the other way around, that Iran should be begging Russia for some kind of help, and that, you know, Ukraine should be flush with assistance and everything else from the West. But yeah, it's just so stupid. It's so backwards everything is right now. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But we at least got some sweet deals with the Middle Eastern countries for like 10-year contracts of providing them with the, you know, anti-drone and drone defense. Mm-hmm. And that's like at least somewhat good that happened like because of this. But yeah, I don't know if that overweighs the damage, so to speak. And let's give it to Dylan probably.
Man, for me the last year, I mean, I was filled with so much dread on election night. And because I could just map out the next year in my head, and I could map out the next few years in my head. I knew that the demands that the Russians would make would be too unreasonable in every way, whether the evacuations of hundreds of thousands of people from their land, the disarming of the Ukrainian state, and what would likely be setups for the next invasions, the pressuring of Kharkiv or further strikes into the Dnipro region, the Zaporizhia region. And so I knew that those demands would not be accepted. I knew there would not be 24-hour peace deals. And when the peace deal inevitably failed, who would be the people whispering in Donald Trump's ear? It'd be people like Tulsi Gabbard. And I remember on election night having Republicans come on my stream telling me, they're not going to pick Tulsi Gabbard. That's ridiculous, Dylan. Now that he's won, he's going to pick mainstream suits. The idea that we're going to get here names that we've never heard before. And instead, we got the guy on Fox News that nearly beheaded somebody with an axe. And we got Tulsi Gabbard. And we got a whole other list of chuckle fucks who don't know what they're doing. And for the last year, not only have we seen the United States tamper down its support to just be basically a few thousand artillery shells a month, intelligence support and ATACMS support, which is, I will say, notable and important support that only the United States can provide. Only the United States can provide ballistic missile support. There is no other country on the planet that has the tools to help intercept the Russian ballistic missile arsenal. Only what we have in our arsenal can do that. And so we are still doing that, but now in limited margins because the President of the United States, the anti-war candidate, is starting other wars of choice. We've seen more anti-air interceptors used in the Middle East over the last month than we have seen used over Ukraine over the entirety of the Russian invasion. To give you an idea of the expense of American munitions over this short period. Mind you, the Elbridge Colby Donald Trump model was, we're going to pivot from Ukraine, we're going to pivot from the Middle East, and we're going to use it to face down the Chinese. What instead we've gotten is another war in the Middle East that seems to be going nowhere. We've now proven that the Iranians can tamp down on the Strait of Hormuz, mess with international transit security, and then demand $2 million a pop for the trouble, all while the Iranians are making more money now from energy than they were before the war. And the Russians, they're unsanctioned at the same time that they are picking up their air attacks. They aren't stopping their atrocities. I hear daily reports of civilians being targeted in Kherson. I've talked about this before, but I've talked to ambulance drivers who have had degloving head injuries. I've seen my good friend Eugene, like about 2 weeks ago, when he was trying to evacuate an 83-year-old woman and a 64-year-old woman. They were both splattered and killed in the back of the van as they were trying to leave Konstantinivka, which right now is a hunting ground. And each time we see these attacks ramp up, not only is there a less of a response from the American government, there is no response from the American government. The best example of this would be the Bucha anniversary. Originally, and the anniversary of Bucha, you would see all of these visits from state dignitaries, people going to look at the mass grave, as many, and myself included, have gone and seen. It's very hallowed ground. Then you would see a second post maybe the next year. But since Trump came in office, the first year, they said something on the anniversary, something mild. This year, they didn't say anything at all. When they talk about Russia trafficking children, they don't say they're trafficking children. They say, oh, we got five children back that were rehoused. They have desanitized the language to help, through their own terminology, justify Russia's actions. Every time J.D. Vance talks about it, like, oh, it's a territorial dispute. Oh, they're just fighting over a few villages. We're talking about the homes of hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, we're talking about, like, the state, enough people to fill up, like, the state of Utah. Would we just, oh, that's just the state of Utah.
Real quick, something that's annoying that you just brought up is even the dignitary visits to Ukraine, I saw people on both sides doing this, were spinning these as like anti-Western propaganda. Because I remember people saying that the only reason why Ukraine is still trapped in this war is because Boris Johnson would go down there and he would give advice to Ukrainians to keep fighting forever and not accept like the really good peace offerings from Putin and stuff so that the West could keep fighting with Russia. And it's like, where are all of these conspiracy theorists now that the West is not supporting Ukraine? Like, shouldn't that be the whole case? If we wanted to destroy Russia, wouldn't we be supporting? Like, it's just, oh God, it's so fucking annoying.
There's only two guys. Asylum. No, okay.
Yeah, Jesus.
I don't hear anything from these motherfuckers. They're never to be seen. Yeah.
You can't call it naive at a certain point because they've had 4 years to learn. I like to think for some of them it's naive and a lack of knowledge because people checked in at the start of the war, right, which a lot of people didn't think was going to happen in the first place. Then they didn't reevaluate what led them to dismiss the fact that Russia invading was a possibility, and then immediately just grabbed for what other justification so they could fit into their prescribed worldview. When it comes to the Boris Johnson situation, people don't know what was being demanded. People just say, oh, there was this avenue for peace, and if you just entered in the fucking Contra Code of diplomacy, we could have avoided the whole thing altogether. The Russians were demanding, after they failed to take Kyiv, that Ukraine disarm itself. They said, we believe if you get rid of the tanks, get rid of the artillery, get rid of the infantry, get rid of the territorial defense forces, get rid of all the things that stopped us from taking you the first time. And if you know anything about Russian history, whether it be Russian subjugation of Estonia, when they went into Estonia without a shot being fired and they had to be welcomed in because their force was so overwhelming. Within a year, there was no more Estonia. All of the civil society was being deported to the east to work in gulags. And I'm just saying that it's very clear that that is a setup for another invasion. That was not an option. That was the sticking point. At the same time, mass graves were being uncovered. Bucha is one name. Bucha was the name that the press grabbed onto. Bucha was just one example of hundreds and hundreds of examples that happened just that year alone. And since then, there have been many, many more. The Russians are conducting raids into Sumy right now, grabbing civilians and then deporting them across the border. That's happening right now. When you're talking about the rehousing of civilians, these are the circumstances we're describing. That isn't rehousing. That is human kidnapping. That is trafficking. And the fact our administration can't even call it what it is shows that they are looking to profit with the government. They're looking to set up businesses. Those reports that indicated that Jared Kushner wants to be on the ground floor for the reopening of Russia, it's not just a question about whether or not this is good for the United States and this is a diplomatic disagreement. The United States government, those who maintain positions of power in it, want to directly profit from the reopening. They are putting their own personal profit over the interests of the country and over a people having its people pushed east.
Yay, yeah. Dylan, you go.
Don't disagree. It's pretty.
I love to fucking hear this, okay? Because he can be as more angry than me because he's American. So I'm just, yes, you go. Because everything you said is true. And it's very it's very difficult to, because Ukrainians try not to be ungrateful, try not to be too, you know, angry about it. And sometimes you feel like you need a spokesperson. And I would like to everyone to say that Dylan is that guy. You know, we really appreciate him and what he's done. So, yeah, thanks, buddy.
I mean, yeah,
I think my war tourism is mild. I don't think it's that good.
It is good. Like on Progressive Victory, I was screaming when you appeared. Okay? I was screaming. And I had a friend, by the way, who's a Jewish Ukrainian, and she was also listening to this with me. And she was like, that was a wild panel. Not once we were brought up until you appeared. And yeah, it's just
session. I really hate the position of like, I'm trying to have my one day where I'm not fighting with leftists all the time, but like, mm-hmm. I really want to correct people. Have you ever seen the Scott Pilgrim movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how the girl keeps bringing up her seven deadly exes and the guy would say, like, oh, your seven ex-boyfriends? And she'd always correct him to say seven exes because there was one girl she dated. Every time these guys say they're anti-war, 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 I always wish somebody would just come, you're anti the war against Gaza. Please, because you don't fucking say anything about Ukraine. Nobody talks about this conflict at all. And it's such a black and white issue compared to, you know, for whatever you want to say on Israel, and there's no shortage of criticism that you can have for Israel or for Hamas, like that issue is so much more back and forth bullshit than the Ukraine-Russia stuff, which is like so obviously one-sided. But I just never hear, I never hear anybody talk about it, but they also, when you dig into it, they still do believe a lot of weird conspiratorial nonsense about why Ukraine and Russia are fighting as well, which they don't bring out as much, but
I wish, to be honest, they didn't talk about it. It would be an improvement if how they called crystal ball thing.
Yeah.
Breaking point. Yeah. I wish they didn't talk at all, okay, about Ukraine. Like, that would be better. That would be an improvement. Because what they're doing is they're straight up paddling the false narratives about this whole being the fault of the NATO, of United States, of Boris Johnson, of whatever the hell it is. And they quite literally call our actions terrorist acts. So I would, for example, bombing of the bridge, and you know, which is a valid military target because they quite literally move their equipment through that bridge, and they like said though. So I was really, very, really have nothing good to say about those people, and we need someone with consistency on that. I feel like, because when you hear Dylan, for example, speak on that panel, you hear a person who is like morally consistent. And mm-hmm. who is anti-colonialist, anti-imperialist in all senses, right? Not just as a means to attack basically America and the United States and the West and then ignore or even whitewash every single thing that China or Russia do.
Yeah.
yeah, it's just quite sad to look at, and I'm glad to see that there are people who don't do it, but like a lot of like very big people, majority, you know, big channels that, for example, people watch on a daily basis do that in the left sphere and stuff. So yeah, that's great.
I want to be a little blunt because I think this is what the conversation requires. Now, first off, I want to say Oliver, who was one of the people that the PV campaign was raising funds for, his message on his site for Ukraine seemed perfectly fine. In fact, the fact that he had a section surprised me, and I want to give him credit for that. And that's somebody that I think people could have a good reason to donate to. But the fact that any progressive could be invited to a campaign event where you're going to be fundraising for people who will not take an affirmative for Ukraine aid, is against Ukraine aid, has the same position functionally as Donald Trump. In fact, a worse position currently than the Trump administration, which still allows artillery shells to be sent. I mean, there is no other source for ballistic missile defense in the world than the United States. We ask Ukraine to give up their atomic weapons. We tell them, we will starve you. We will not give you food aid as your children are taking drugs on the street, as you're facing some of the worst inflation, literally the worst inflation human beings had ever seen in the history of humanity after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And we're going to use that moment of vulnerability to say, give us the nukes or Russia will invade you, but we'll give you security assurances. And then we use the word assurances to snake out of our responsibilities in 2014. Barack Obama failed the Ukrainian people in 2014, and Joe Biden somewhat delivered on a promise made after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But now, as Donald Trump is trying to cut off aid, to have any progressive asking anyone to fundraise any money whatsoever for candidates who have the same position of inaction as J.D. Vance, as Elbridge Colby, and any of these other people that would slit the throat of the entire nation in a heartbeat if it made them a dime, that's a problem to me. That's non-progressive, and ultimately, functionally, it's allied with a fascist imperialist state. And people have to realize that that should come with consequences in progressive circles, that that should be a mark on your record, something that follows you around. Maybe people follow you and email you on your campaign website and ask you, why do you want to do nothing when cities are burnt down? Will we start a drum circle? Will we start a big parade, a reading group? That's not what Ukrainians need. They need action. And I want to see the same for like viciousness and anger and outrage about the tens of thousands of Americans that die every year without health care, for the tens of thousands to millions of people that we would be dooming to occupation, a denial of the civil rights, or possibly death. Occupied territory is hell. Kherson is a hunting ground. A drum circle and thoughts and prayers is not going to fix that. And anyone offering anything less than assistance should not be supported. And so I will say, getting in rooms where I am forced to make decisions about whether or not I'm going to have to support this candidate who's actively not willing to go out there. Herzl is his name, by the way. I'll say it directly because that's how politics works. That's insulting to me. And that's insulting to people who are colonized and going under an imperialist occupation. And so does that seem progressive? No, it doesn't seem progressive. That seems like a Trumpian position.
Based.
It's just so, yeah, he just speaks with so much passion. It's like there's nothing else I can follow up with. 100% correct.
Someone should. Like when you listen to people, they talk about it. This is some sort of game for 3 meters of land. It's the biggest war in the world. Hello. Like, yeah, it's just like cities are destroyed to the ground. Like the amount of our cities and towns and villages that is destroyed is about like 20% of the country. Do you know how much that is? It's a big country by European standards. And like in people were freezing to death. OK, people lived months of winter with no heating, millions of people. And they deliberately say they're doing this to terrorize people and to change our political opinions. They deliberately, Russia, on every show, on every official channel, on every news channel, they say, we want them to freeze, we want them to suffer. So they demand from their government to stop resisting, to basically just capitulate. It didn't work. We still, you know, the same opinion as we always were, because we know what Russian occupation is. We saw it. You can blame Boris Johnson all you want, but when people saw what they did to the bodies of the people in Bucha, people were like, oh, you know, we don't want that happening to us. It was a very easy choice to see. Even people who were like slightly more sympathetic to Russia, for example, right? They saw what they did. And if, for example, in Izum is like 2-hour drive from where I live. I saw bodies with cut off genitals, arms and legs being pulled out of those graves, civilians that they killed in a mass grave. Okay, the biggest mass grave since whoever knows what. Even Mariupol alone is a huge, is how many people from the satellites we can see being, you know, just thrown in the mass graves, and people never speak of this at all in the Western world. It feels as like the, and no offense to anyone, but like, how can you pretend that you care about human rights, about self-determination, about people's, you know, all over the world that, you know, stop wars, and you give zero fucks about this? Like, it just tells me all I need to know about you, because if you did care, you would actually have some consistency in that. Yeah, and it's just, it's quite difficult to even, like, listen to this, because the level of passion, as you say, here is appropriate. The level of passion you hear everywhere else is none.
The UNESCO World Heritage List is being used like a target list. I mean, the majority of the corpses I've seen are not soldiers. They're elderly women. That's the majority of the corpses that I've seen, because the majority of the civilians that are being killed on the front line are the elderly that have nothing else and therefore do not want to leave their homes. That's the case in Kherson. That was the case for the failed evacuations that I've been on, which are terrible to witness. And that's the case during the majority of the civilian evacuations where I'm talking to people. To not have a position on the most violent war currently happening on the planet, which is more deadly than any other war, where we have a direct impact on, to not have a public position, especially if you think foreign policy is a strong suit of your campaign, especially if you consider yourself an anti-war candidate, that is a moral failing.
Yeah, and a war in Europe, nonetheless. It's not even like the Uyghurs in China, or it's something in Africa, or it's something that we have no attachment to or anything. Like, they should have been the easiest, like, values test, I would say, of all time. But yeah, the United States position right now is incomprehensible.
It's one thing if there's a war somewhere where we should do something because it's our fellow human beings and therefore something should be done. It's another thing when it's a nation state that bounded its security on our promises, giving up its atomic arsenal that we chose to keep.
Yeah, there was a recent poll in Ukraine, very recent, like a couple days ago, I think. Would do you trust like the any security guarantees from United States that Russia will not attack? And I think a good 80% said no shit, no. So this is like how little trust there is right now, and it should be even more less, to be for real with you, than it should be 100%. But you know, 80% of the people don't trust any guarantees, specifically because we've already been on that path, and now we are also demonized for that, which annoys me, because we are defending our interests for once. We're not saying, okay, like, all right, you know, do what you want. We're not doing that. You know, Zelensky went out there in that cursed Oval Office meeting, and he said, no, you know, we need security guarantees. Otherwise, there is no point in any of this, because we want to protect ourselves in the future from yet another invasion, which is what Russians do, which is what they did in Chechnya. Exactly. They, you know, made this agreement that they are no longer going to attack. And then they came in again and they destroyed those people. Like, absolutely destroyed them. And we know this, and we will not be fooled again. And people demonize us as warmongers, as people who want to continue this war. While Russians, you know, Trump said how many times in his, like, messages and in his public speeches that, you know, Zelensky is more difficult than Putin. You know, Putin wants peace, and he wants... And how it's insane to say that. You know, the country that is, one country is an invader and occupier, and the other country is defending itself, and we are being, you know, paraded around as the evil warmongers who don't want to stop the... Yeah, that's just the... All of it has been horrible. It's been worse than anything I thought it would be. It was worse than... Yeah.
All right, go continue. I don't want to step on you.
No, it's... I'm about to go in the zone of being very angry. That's your zone.
Okay, I'll be angry. I love to be angry. Where's the progressive response? Like, legitimately, the Trump administration abandons Ukraine, tries to throw Zelensky under the bus in front of the whole world. Where's the progressive response? There should be a larger... There are progressives that support Ukraine. I talk to them all the time. There are progressives in PV that support Ukraine. There are progressives in organizations all across the country that support Ukraine. But I've had conversations with Ukrainian candidates. I've had conversations with Ukrainians who have been elected to public office that have told me, progressives in progressive communities, in DSA circles, that tell me they have to turn down their Ukrainianness. They have to turn it down in these conversations because talking about their real experience and stuff like that, they're going to get raised eyebrows because these are people who have either been touched by Russophilia to the point that they don't understand that there are other colonial powers outside of the United States, or that they have such Soviet nostalgia for a country they'd never even seen in the first place that they're willing to ignore modern war crimes. Which that's a type of rose-tinted glasses that isn't tinted with roses, that's tinted with blood. You're ignoring what's happening now because of this idyllic dream that isn't even real that you're holding in your head. It's extremely annoying. And mind you, these are people running in what party is it? As last time I checked, this is the Democrat Party. This is the party that thinks that Russia appointed Donald Trump, okay? This is the party that sees that the Russians did try to interfere in our election. This is the party where Americans in the Democratic Party don't agree with the social values that Russia tries to institute there, as both Putin and Donald Trump endorse who? Viktor Orban. They have a political alliance in supporting the same people. Mm-hmm. Netanyahu supports the same person. All of the worst human beings on the planet coming together.
How is
for
it,
this kind of how this it, complete like clusterfuck?
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000,000%. Like, I wish that people would just look sometimes to what the like the way that other people act can signal, like, you know, who is actually wanting what. Like, people are like, oh, both sides would have been the exact same when it comes to like Israel Palestine, and it's like, who was Netanyahu gunning for to wanting to win the presidency, right? It was obviously Donald Trump, right? And he said as much. And when it came to, you know, Russia, Ukraine, and all of the Russian interference or whatever, like, people are always like, oh, Donald Trump would be such a huge adversary to Putin, and they'll fear him. And it's like, Putin feared Hillary Clinton. That's who he didn't want to be, you know, in D.C. And I don't know if you're bringing up Orban now just because we're obsessed with every dictator. Did you see was this a truth like 30 minutes ago? Did you see this?
No, I didn't see the 30 minutes ago. I know they've endorsed Orban like 20 times over.
Yeah, it's just, this is just,
yeah, JD Vance was out there.
It's so cringe. This was literally, this is 30 minutes ago from Trump. My administration stands ready to use the full economic might of the United States to strengthen Hungary's economy, as we have done for our great allies in the past. If Prime Minister Viktor Orban and the Hungarian people ever need it, we are excited to invest in the future prosperity that will be generated by Orban's continued leadership. President Donald J. Trump is like, it's the worst constellation of people. Jesus. My God.
That's desperate at this point, you know? I think they know the guy's gonna lose. But it just was so cringe. Like, all Europeans I know talked about this, that they were like, you were interfering, Ukraine was interfering in the elections, they said, which no proof whatsoever, except Orban's word, by the way. And they was like, we are not gonna allow this. And he came once to literally interfere in the election. He came to there in person to say while they will be all, I don't know, attacked by brown people and migrants and how the Europeans civilization will die if they don't vote for Orban. And you're like, and also, by the way, why you all need to donate and support Democrats as well? Because they're cancerous to everyone. They support every fascist, Russian, corrupt, oligarchical asshole they can find. Like, whether it's Moldova, whether it's AfD fucking Nazis in Germany.
Yeah, Tommy Robinson and the UK and all the weird white ass. Yeah, it's every single
like
bad.
Every Le Pen was literally bought by Russia. It's no longer even a conspiracy. It was, like, proven. It's just every demonic, evil shit they can find now.
Boogaloo or whatever for El Salvador with the CICOT and everything. And, yeah, it's just, ugh.
And we also, like, you know, trying our, like, our best, I guess, over here, because so far none of them won, which we call it the curse of Vance now, that he went to the Pope and the Pope died, you know, all that. We were like kind of making memes that he should visit more people because, you know, maybe that will, you know, work some charm over there. But they are exerting that influence that they say they are not, like, right? Other people, like, interfered in the election. They're actively interfering. You have Elon Musk, who was, like, simping on Twitter to millions of people for every far-right government he could possibly find in Europe, saying that it will be the end of the civilization and, you know, the end of white toys. I don't know what he was talking about that. Like, that everyone will just, you know, collapse if you don't vote for the most egregious pro-Russian, horrendous, corrupt oligarchs you can find. And that's like, it's not normal in any sense of the world to do that. Like, was there ever a time, by the way, when vice president from the United States just dropped by to like help the local dictator in some small country? Like, did that happen? Because I don't remember that.
No, our yeah. VP behavior, all of our behavior has been insane. I mean, you guys all saw the Munich Vance speech, what, a year ago, and then just Rubio's speech recently or a month ago. Like, every our interaction with other dictators around the world has just been crazy. Like, the idea that the American president, even, I think this was from Trump's first term, I think, or it might have been a year and a half ago, when Trump is saying things like, I'm jealous of the way Kim Jong-un's military treats them. I wish my military treated me. Like, yes. Like, it's just like,
yes.
It's just insane.
I mean, yeah. He likes his dictators, okay? He wants to be one. That's not difficult to see why.
Yeah, and, but the thing that I hate the most about all of these people, and this is always the thing I make fun of, like, fascists for, right? Is that, like, fascists are, like, they're kind of the ultimate losers because you had people who believed in, like, the racially pure militant societies that were going to conquer the world that die in the first generation. All of them are gone immediately, right? And it's, like, the worst project ever. And then, meanwhile, you think of, like, who are the most successful, powerful countries on the planet? Well, you've got obviously got the U.S. president, but then you've got, like, Russia? Like, not really. No. You've got, like, Hungary with Orban? Like, no. You've got North Korea? No. You look at, like, the political parties at this point, like, they're all, like, losers. And there's this weird thing where you have this, like, feeling that I guess, like, all of the left people and all the liberals are all, like, cucked, weak idiots, but the really powerful people are all, like, these right militant authoritarians. But, like, they're not. These are all the biggest losers on the planet. They all suck at everything they do, but somehow they have this reputation of being so good. I don't understand where this comes from. Yeah, it's so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about, like, what sort of countries dominate the world and what kind of countries you want to be like, you rarely think of Hungary, no offense.
Yeah!
So, yeah, I mean, not to throw shade, but, you know, they're, like, absolutely as well collapsed, like, in terms of, like, the economy, their freedom of speech index dropped to fucking shitters with Orban, the press, you know, all of it. And also, like, no offense again, but, like, listening to Vance in Munich being like, you people, you, like, European fucking Europoors, as they say, have, like, the audacity, you know, to attack freedom of speech. And you're like, bro, you're, like, lower on the freedom of speech index than any people you speak with here.
This guy's president is super... suing media outlets for saying things about him that he doesn't like. And the fact, too, is that, like, Vance's talking points, I don't know how much Western social media guys consume, but these talking points are just because, like, people can't say the N-word on Twitter, which isn't even true because they can now on Twitter. So it's like people can't say certain things because they see a story about in the United Kingdom about, like, misgendering somebody. And they're living in, like, all of these people are living in 2016 social media time. Like, it's taken over their brains. There was a picture on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was the funniest thing in the world. And it's like, understanding politics for the last decade is understanding how these two things are directly connected. And on the left is a picture of Zoe Quinn, I think, and on the right is a picture of the Strait of Hormuz. And it's like, it's so true. For, like, it's just the dumbest social issues ever, like, lead to the most insane political revolutions in the West right now. And, like, NATO is, like, I don't know if you follow, like, Rutte, or if you've seen any of his speeches. Like, Rutte's talking like Trump is telling him he's leaving NATO. It's, like, fucking over. And it's like, what the fuck? Why? It's so stupid.
I mean, he's mad that we didn't support him in his stupid war. I don't know how else to, like, describe it, but this is as stupid as it gets, really. And, yeah, it just was a lot of things like that, to be honest. Like, people, like, I remember some guy, a friend of mine, showed me a meme where it was, like, this person froze to death in their apartment in Kyiv. He was like, the reason why it happened. And there was, like, Anita Sarkeesian. I don't know, because, Gamergate.
I understand.
Yeah, because the connection of, like, this woman frozen to death in Kyiv because people voted for Trump because, like, this and that, and it all leads to gamers being mad about not having big booba girls in games, although you still have those. I don't know. I see them, you know.
Yeah.
Why they don't see them is the question. Yeah, but it's like, it's stupid, but it's also, like, our lives, you know? You know, the person, the woman who was frozen, like, it was, like, elderly lady who was survived, like, German war, okay? She was that old, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, we have, like, what Dylan brought up about the UNESCO. We're losing our, like, cultural monuments, and we are losing our people, our country, our cities are burning down. There are so many people who lost everything, their homes, their jobs, and everything. And it's all funny memes on one end. You have to laugh, otherwise you will be crying. So every time you see someone post things, you just have to like meme about this. But like I told you on stream, but you know, it's the last thing I will say about this, is that when Trump posted this like boom, boom, missile, boom, boom, like, you know, fire, fire, boom, like, and we are sitting in the corridor looking at this. It was posted on like Ukrainian Telegram channels, this speech of his. And everyone is like sitting in the corridor, and we had insane shahed attack that evening. So like in the background you see the buzzing of death, you know, it's getting closer and it's exploding and everything is like shaking and everyone is in the corridor like, and in our minds we're like boom boom fire boom Trump. Like it's insanity is what it is. Okay, so yeah guys, please donate and please fix this shit. Okay, fix it.
I do just quickly want to say that Trump, as president of the United States, he's seen as a representative of the United States, right? So there were Ukrainians I knew that kind of hoped Trump would win under the idea that, well, maybe he'll actually bring peace in 24 hours, that have seen so much damage. There are people displaced from the Donetsk region. They're just like, I want this to be over. Maybe one day I'll go home. Who knows? And all those people felt burnt, not just by Trump, but burnt by the United States, that they had been promised nirvana, like this miracle cure that was never going to come, and now the United States looks weaker for it. And Trump, when it comes to Orban, he has been coming to CPAC conferences for some time. And so I do want to say, when you look at Orban going out there saying, oh, these candidates withdrew in the middle of the night, even though those opposition candidates didn't withdraw in the middle of the night, and you see all these little election tricks, you watch, Trump might try to repeat some of those same tactics come either 2026 or 2028. It is not beneath him, and we need to be vigilant when it comes to these things. Lastly, I just want to say that American inaction will only make the situation worse. The Russians will hunt people in here so hard, regardless of if we send Ukrainians aid or not, okay? Vladimir Putin's beliefs about Ukraine was not dependent on the United States' existence. Russia had expanded and engaged in colonialism before the United States existed. And if the United States disappeared tomorrow, they would just think, well, won't it be easier to do it tomorrow? So I think that there's many, many, many good reasons to make sure that Republicans feel the pain for becoming such a Russophilic party.
Yeah, I would also say on a self-interested part, although this is pointless to say because the people that need to hear this won't listen. If you are worried about like other nations being a threat to the United States or whatever, like Donald Trump, we're lucky that Russia is as impotent as they are, that Iran is not as powerful as it could be, because, oh my God, Trump has managed to botch literally fucking everything. I can't imagine if there were legitimate military threats to the United States, how unfathomably fucked we would be. But like for all the attacking of NATO and calling Europeans freeloaders and all of this, and it's a mean comment, but like the reason why NATO and all this stuff kind of benefited the United States is that like you guys are the front lines. Like, yeah, we've got bases there, and yeah, you know, we do a lot of military defense and everything, but like we don't get invaded. It's like you guys that get invaded first. And the idea that that starts to happen and then the United States is like, oh well, fuck that, like I don't want to be involved. Like we've run this game so many times, this whole like capitulation game to, you know, conquering powers and everything. And yeah, it never ends well. But I guess we just have to relearn this lesson every couple decades or something. Yeah,
I thought we learned that lesson, to be honest, but apparently not, is the thing, right? Yeah. And I don't find any offense like with what you just said, that we all know we are the meat shield, okay? We are not dumb. We understand we are the meat shield, but like at least sponsor your goddamn meat shield.
Yeah.
Like sponsor it. If you don't want like NATO countries and other people being throwing your own people to fight, like you have the Poles of like in Western Europe that nobody wants to fight if their country is attacked. You have like truly the man of the century, like 10% or like something saying they want to fight in the war to defend their own country. And we have like Poles, Ukrainians, Estonians, and Finnish people like, yes, we will fight, you know? So sponsor the people, okay, who are your meat shield, and don't throw us at the bus every fucking time. Like in every war, it's just, I don't know. Like I think we all need to understand that this time in history is extremely perilous, and it will like lead to all sorts of more horrible things down the line. And all the people who were like so afraid of World War III are the people who should be sponsoring us the most. Yeah. Are the people who should be saying, yeah, these guys, they're like our, you know, they're our defenders essentially, right? They're stopping the hordes, quote unquote. And we don't see any of that. So yeah, it's just yeah, overall, I think we just need some people who are reasonable, who are sensible, back at the wheel in the United States, so the whole world can kind of, I don't know, although I will be honest, I don't think people will be forgetting this, and neither should they. Yeah. Like, I don't think you can trust someone to be the leader of the world who is so bipolar and unhinged.
Yeah,
and
true.
And I don't know how that reputation can be saved. But the very least you can do is try to, you know, show the world that the people are not entirely nuts. Although voting 2 times for this guy probably, you know, puts you a little bit in the nuts category, yeah. in the minds of most people. But you can fix it still. I believe in you. And please do. Please do it for the rest of the world.
One last thing I wanted to say before we get the boot is Democrats, if they take back the House, they have real influence. Republicans held aid hostage over immigration. There is no reason why, if Democrats take back the House, we cannot hold a Republican or Trump priority hostage over the issue of getting aid to Ukraine after clearly demonstrating, just through his own failures, that the 24-hour peace deal is not coming, and it's clear as day it's not coming. And so this shouldn't just be a question for people in the primary, but in the general, and when we take back the House, which we will do, over $100,000 gathered, I don't know where the clock is now, we need to have a plan to act and not a plan to send flowers.
Yes.
Great.
We're at $130,000 roughly. Sorry, go ahead.
Hell yeah. I've been told by the guys in the green room thingy, or like waiting room thingy, that you aren't more than progressive victory. So that's the only
thing
I care about.
Yes, we have lapped them by almost 100,000 right now, actually.
Yes! I'm so happy about this. Yeah, mug them.
Let's do a joint event. Let's all come together. And let's all come together, get a joint event, and I'll marry you all. We'll all get together, kiss, and play a big drum. Come on, let's win. Let's win. Yes. That's what politics
we tweeted
is about.
Nicely at Progressive Victory yesterday, and I had a hate thread on Reddit in like 2 minutes. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see about that. We're not going to support any candidates who don't support Ukraine.
I'm going to be honest.
If we can do it, we'll.
I want to work with everybody, of course, but man, dude, I think I stayed up like 3 or 4 hours getting triggered as fuck by that fucking by that Mehdi Hasan tweet. That kind of sent me. Like, I would if I was Zelensky, I would have killed myself so long ago. Like, imagine going to the White House and fucking fat boy couch fucker Vance is like roasting you or not apologizing. And then you're tweeting like the most like innocuous shit in the world. Like, hey, shouldn't the UN Security Council be doing something to like make sure like straits and stuff aren't closed so that we're not like all getting fucked on energy prices? And then like out from the shadows, it's like, don't you know that Iran and Ukraine are both victims? Are you crazy? So it's like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, what the fuck? Calm the fuck down. Like, how? And also, do you understand? Understand you guys understand the ungodly levels of like adherence to strict rule of law and worldly order for a single Ukrainian to have fucking sympathy for Iran. Like, I'm sorry, like Jesus fucking Christ, come on guys, it's unreal. Yeah.
We gotta be angels, I guess. Jeez. We gotta
mind
be
you,
the
air defense is for Gulf states. It's not like they're bombing Iran. In the comments about like the Strait of Hormuz, look, all these people need to have conversations with Ukrainians. Iran sponsored over 500,000 kamikaze attacks against Ukrainians that have killed men, women, and children. Ukraine defending Gulf states from kamikaze attacks, doing the same thing, not as effectively as the Russians, mind you. It didn't deserve that response. It didn't.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, he lost what he said. He said we lost all credibility or some shit. Like, you know, we're so horrified by this horrible judgment from Mehdi Hasan, okay? That we lost all credibility because we are not very hyped on the regime that sponsors daily terror of our people. I guess, you know, my bad. Like, I haven't slept for years because of this fucking shithead thing. Like,
mind you, I got the power in me. Mind you, these Gulf states have capital. If the United States isn't going to invest in the Ukrainian drone industry, how are they going to defend themselves? They're in a war of survival, and people treat it like it's, I don't know, they're playing fucking patty cake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, sorry, I think I keep going over time. Sorry, yeah, go for it.
What's that's all good. That's all good. I just got to get to the next time. This shit's great. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having us. Yeah. Bye-bye. Good luck.
Thanks, of course.
Remember to donate.